This is Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Lisa Holland Nelson and Shavana Robert Schreiber.
Hello, I'm Lisa Holland Nelson Bowman Lombardi, the fashionista co-host of Culture Club HTX, and welcome to episode 61. I'm here today with my beautiful, brilliant, bestie, beloved. We can't remember the last.
You know, we were saying Cinco Bay, and you told me that was bad.
Cinco Bay had just as five B's. No, I need to remember you don't what know the word
that's
is.
That's why we were saying it, because we don't know what it is.
No.
Okay. Shavana Robert Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, and here with our baseball boyfriend.
We got a special guest here. We're introducing our baseball boyfriend, or we could call him Baseball Scott. Welcome, Scott Rizzo.
Baseball boyfriend seems more, I don't know, I just feel like, let's say that.
I kind of like that.
Baseball boyfriend? Absolutely. Well, we want you to come back again. So if you get a title like that, it's kind of...
Well, that title is conditional.
Yeah. Baseball boyfriend. You have to earn it. It's like
hello. Hello.
Yeah, for sure.
I get that.
Well, just making sure.
You can tell me after this segment
if you
qualify.
Can come back.
Okay, yeah, we will.
So our friend Scott Rizzo did not start out as a sports analyst.
Or our baseball boyfriend.
No, his background, yes, his background is he's a lawyer, UT grad, UT law school.
That's why
SMU
he's here,
undergrad,
really.
Active alum of SMU. I don't know how active he is with UT. He's debating going to his reunion, so we'll see if he does or not.
Well, I've never missed one.
Well, so then you should go.
If I don't make this one, it'll be the first time I've missed
one. Well, you got to go. I mean, come on. Keep the streak going. Baseball.
And on top of that, he was with a law firm for a long time. Which one?
Baker Botts.
Baker Botts.
Oh, really one of those.
Law firm. And then he went to CenterPoint Energy as the general counsel.
That's right.
Yes.
And that's where you retired from, yeah?
He retired from there like 10 years ago. He was gracious enough. He was my secret source.
Oh,
after
was our
the blackout
informant?
Last year. Remember?
Our informant. I remember we had all this intel.
Yeah, it was all the intel. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome, Lisa.
Absolutely.
Anything for you.
Right. Anyway, we're so excited.
He's also a pilot, so we got a chance to talk a little bit about that.
He is an avid, really like all sports fan, but especially the Astros. So we figured, who better to ask about the Astros? Now, especially that you're recovering from a terrible ski injury, so you've got time.
Plenty of time on my hands.
Yeah, you can watch them all the time.
So we need to understand the 4-1. So I love the Astros. Lovely is coming around. And there's so much going on. There's so much happening.
But they just won 3 in a row.
So we're going to turn it over to you.
From Toronto. Tell us about that.
What's the 4-1-1?
So I think this is a good team. I think it's a good team. It's a team in transition, and the transition is always difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a solid team. I think they're a playoff caliber team. Mm. Whether they will make the playoffs or not depends on how this transition works.
Okay.
But they have a lot of players playing in different positions. Mm-hmm. The starting infield has 3 new players out of 4. Okay. You have 2 outfielders playing in the outfield who've never played in the outfield in their professional lives. So all that's hard.
Yeah.
How's Altuve doing?
Altuve's doing fine as a left fielder. He's a good athlete.
Fine is not good.
And his bat is still really important to the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
He's learning that position. You know, these are all professionals.
Yes.
The people who play these positions are really good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say he's doing fine, I think that's a compliment. You take a guy who's moving from second base, which he's played his entire career, to a new position and expect him to play like someone who's played their whole career is unreasonable.
Okay,
so
that's fair.
He's doing fine for someone making that transition.
So you think they're connecting with each other? You feel optimistic about that? Because we know...
We talk about culture and all of that. Yeah.
The team that was.
Right.
So if you ask me, I think that's the one big question mark for this team.
Mm.
And that is, when you have so many new players playing in new positions, how does the team gel?
Mm-hmm.
It looks to me like the individuals here are all quality people. Looks like they should be able to do that. But I think the real question for the Astros is, who's their clubhouse leader?
Hello. Always comes back to leadership.
We're very curious.
Well,
can it be Altuve?
Yeah, who is it?
I don't look. Jose Altuve is the heart of that franchise.
Yes.
And he's a fabulous player.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a quiet guy.
Mm-hmm.
He leads by his example.
Yeah.
And, you know, during this run where the Astros have been so good, they've had really strong leadership in their clubhouse. They had a George Springer. They had a Carlos Correa. They had a Justin Verlander. They had an Alex Bregman. And we're not in the clubhouse, the three of us. So
we don't get to.
Well, that would be a story in and of itself.
I'd love to be.
We don't get to see how those men interact with each other. But no good team that I've ever followed, no good baseball team, hasn't had someone who was a strong clubhouse leader who could rally the team when they were down and could get in players' faces when they needed that. And people who have that kind of personality are rare.
What about the guy with the Crocs? There's the guy that everybody was,
yeah, he's got
yeah
the,
I thought he, yeah, he's like the, they're all buying Crocs,
camouflage Crocs,
yeah, whatever.
Oh,
so,
is that, I don't know, is that Dubon that's doing that? With the belt,
do you remember who it was, the camouflage
with the Crocs? Well, here's the deal. So Magic was going to give us a fact check on that, but I mean, like, they were all doing that, so like, is that
sure,
maybe he's emerging,
buying him,
is he emerging as the leader?
Could be. And a guy like Jeremy Pena, I think,
Pena's good,
do that. You know, he's a youngish player, but he has a good personality.
Well, the Crocs guy is really young.
Well, that's what I'm, I wonder,
really,
because, you know, so speaking
of, we need
of,
a young leader.
Well, and also to the point that you're making, that's how you build that trust, so you can get in their face when, you know, you have to start off soft, right? You kind of got to build some trust first,
Well, and you also have to be good. I mean,
well, yeah, you can't suck.
Professional athletes are not going to let somebody get in their face who's not good.
Right.
Well,
so
that's
you have to be
too.
An accomplished player, and you have to have that kind of personality.
Okay, so you just said something, and we've talked about this, because, you know, so Lovely is the greatest football coach who's never walked the sideline. I'm just a good coach in general. So do you think you have to be a player in order to be able to be seen as a leader?
I do. I don't think you have to be the best player on the team. I think you have to
rather than the coach.
I think you have to be the kind of player, though, that has the credibility in order to be a leader in that clubhouse. And I think it has to be somebody who's good.
Okay. So speaking of leaders, what do we think about the Jim Crane effect?
Well, I personally think Jim Crane is a really good owner. I think he's been a really good owner for the Astros. And I think all you have to do is look at the performance of the team since he's owned it. They've been in the playoffs more years while he's owned it than they were in all the other years of the franchise history.
Yeah, right. That's true.
And I think he's, and this is just my personal opinion, I think the decisions that he's made, the hard decisions on retaining players, including players who I really like and hated to see leave. I personally think all those decisions have been correct, and I think Jim Crane has been a good leader for the, I mean, a good owner for the Astros.
Okay, one, here's a big one. What do you think about the new name of the stadium?
Well, if you want to be invited back, tread lightly here.
Well, I'm not sure which landmine I'm supposed to avoid here.
You don't have to step. We're thrilled.
But I would say it just takes some getting used to. I'll say this. When Minute Maid Park became Minute Maid Park, I thought that was the dumbest name for a baseball facility I had ever heard in my whole life, that they were naming this out of an orange,
the juice
orange
box.
Drink. The juice
box. The juice box. So, and now it'll be the Daikon juice
box.
So
I got used to it, and I'm sure I'll get used to Daikon Field as well.
You know what? Were you a litigator? That's what I'm picking up, litigation vibes here. You really know how to thread the needle. You do. I've noticed this.
I did actually regulatory law, so most of the real litigators wouldn't think I was a litigator.
All right, so.
Longtime Astros.
Yes.
So this is just, I'm curious about this because I had feelings about this. How did you feel about moving from the National League to the American League? And have you changed your mind since it happened originally?
I hated it, and yes, I've changed my mind.
Say more.
So Houston was always a National League city. They had the Cardinals, Triple A minor league team forever, the Houston Buffaloes. The Astros came to the or the Colt 45s came to Houston as a member of the National League. We had great rivalries in the National League. And so I hated giving up on those, and I was not a fan of the designated hitter at all. They moved to the American League, and the first thing that happened was I immediately became a convert to the designated hitter.
Okay. Magical is like, yep, true, true.
I'm telling you, it added a lot to the game. And I used to think I enjoyed the strategy of how you handled pitchers who couldn't hit. And I realized pretty quickly that having a sure out every ninth player wasn't really all that interesting.
So no.
I embraced the designated hitter. And, you know, the Astros have been successful since they've been in the American League. So how can you not like that?
And now they got the Yankees to play, which makes me so happy.
That they have the Yankees? Well, that's a good team. Well, yes,
I love the Yankees.
Have me on too. Another time. I'll tell you. I have some great Yankee stories.
So since you're a baseball boyfriend, but you're going to sit in for the rest of our sports segment. So we have a few more sports.
If you have something to say, you're welcome.
We'll let you talk on these other parts if you feel. Magical, did we figure out who the Crocs guy is?
Hayden Wyszynski.
Yeah, Wyszynski. Yeah, something like that.
Dubon. So maybe Dubon is going to be the leader. Yeah.
So, Wyszynski, by the way, is one of the guys that came over in the Kyle Tucker.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
And if you look at, by the way, I loved Kyle Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Kyle Tucker.
I thought
he was great, and we really miss him. But he's getting ready to get a huge paycheck that the Astros were never going to pay.
And he's young enough to get it, right?
Yes, he is.
He's good.
And we got three players for him, all of whom have turned out to be pretty solid. Paredes is looking good at third base. He's not Alex Bregman, but he's looking good.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Smith could be the real deal. It's hard to tell, but, you know, he's having a really good rookie year. And Wyszynski is a solid pitcher, so.
We'll see. All right, so let's talk about the Rockets.
Well, the Rockets, won game two,
mm-hmm.
and now they're going to be in San Francisco, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah, we'll see how this all shapes
Saturday,
out.
I think, is it? So it will have played by the time everybody hears it.
Yes.
But the good news is they're coming back here. So we know that. Even if they lose two in San Francisco, we're still back here next Wednesday. Is that right? We'll be at Toyota Center on Wednesday for game five, right?
So
four, game
the
four.
The Rockets, five. The reason this is interesting is because James Harden, which, you know, everyone, I think most people like, love, maybe, I don't know if love, that may be a strong word, but they like
comes
him.
And goes.
Yeah, it's fair
does.
Weather.
Yeah he,
but
no,
he left.
It wasn't even fair weather. He offended plenty of
people. Well, right. Well, he left, and then now this, you know, people were like, oh, what are we going to do? And now look at this team.
Well, his exit
made
sparked
this
team
whole,
available because, you know, the big paycheck kind of went out, and you had a lot of money. And
so not too dissimilar from what you just talked about, Scott, with the Astros, right, where you have this big sort of franchise player that they leave, and then it's like, what are we going to do? And then you get some younger talent for the same amount you're paying one person, and then, you know, good things could happen. What do you think about the Rockets?
Well, I'm hopeful for the Rockets, and this is a young team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really follow them as closely as I do the Astros. But I think it's a young team that looks like it has potential to be a good team for a long time.
I think so, too.
I'm so excited. So I don't know all of their names.
Oh, God,
Eamon, what's his name? We love. But Tari Eason just owns my heart. He's a really good young man. So I know him.
So I know a name you know, C.J. Stroud.
Oh.
Did you see him and Steph Curry?
That?
Look,
that
she's all smiling and lighting
up. Favorite athletes in the whole world. I love Steph Curry.
He's a good.
If he wasn't
he's solid.
Playing the Rockets, I'm always rooting for him.
Yeah,
team.
Same.
And I love his coach.
Bear Down Arizona.
You know,
Steve Kerr. Shout out to
Steve
University
Kerr.
Of Arizona for producing
we've got
good humans.
Steve Kerr jersey in the closet that I'm never getting rid of. Signed. You know, I mean, just so anyway. Steph Curry and CJ were on the sideline of the games, having moments, more than one.
What do you think about that?
I
lovely.
Just
did you cry?
Well, I wish I was there.
I'm like, I could just see you being like, oh.
I can't, you know, both of those are
they're
such
precious.
Good, good men.
Good,
you know what I mean?
Folks. Yeah.
Like good men. So that makes me happy. And I mean, I think Steph is unbelievable and so accomplished. And I think, as Coach Nelson, the greatest football coach.
She gets all serious.
Never walked a sideline. I think we're going to get a great season out of CJ this year. I'm hoping. Which brings us almost to the draft.
Well, but before we get to the draft, can we talk about the LPGA tournament?
Sure.
That's happening. So, Scott, do you follow golf?
Not much. I watched the Masters, of course, and
I listened
to your segment talking about Roy.
So here's the thing. I had this, I would say debate, but it's not really a debate because the other person was just wrong. So many people, it was just a fact. Many people don't know this, but I'm going to spread the news. So women golfers are more accurate than male golfers as far as into the fairway. Like, that's a fact.
Because I didn't know that.
It's you know, well, we're going to put this on their website. Because men, they try to, you know, shoot the ball a mile, and women are just like, we can't do that. We'll just make sure they're accurate. This person, like, had a fit. I'm like, everybody knows that. They were upset that I said that, but it's the truth.
I don't have any trouble believing that at all. I coached girls softball for a number of years.
Okay, so yes.
And I was really surprised when I started coaching little girls to find out how much better little girls' hand-eye coordination was than boys that age.
You can come back. Keep going. Keep going. I mean, it's true.
I didn't know about the shot-making ability of women golfers, but I don't have trouble believing that at all.
So we're hosting the Chevron Championship, the LPGA, which is at the Carlton Woods in the Woodlands. Mm-hmm. It's been happening all week. Bad weather, but nevertheless, some great golf being played. All right, so we were going to talk about... You said something. I said, before we get to that, let's talk about golf. We're going to talk about the stadium and who's going to pay for NRG Park, or is that too contentious?
We can definitely talk about that because it's a big deal for all of us, because it's NRG Park is a $3 billion overhaul.
Because nothing's in the billions anymore.
It's $1 billion. And if we don't do the stadium, we're going to have a big problem.
With who? The Texans?
With the fans, with the Texans, with
everybody. I think the stadium's fine. Like, what am I missing? The stadium feels fine to me.
I don't know.
I mean, right? Do you not think it's fine?
I don't know, but I've gotten into the, I'm in the groove of, let's fix it.
You're like, what are we fixing? Scott,
hey, my father was in the construction business. New is better.
Yeah, I'm like, the stadium's good. What do you think about the stadium?
So I have season tickets to the Texans, and I think the stadium is great.
I know.
What I don't know is how... if there are changes that need to be done to that stadium for purposes of the rodeo. Because, you know, the rodeo has far more people attend it over the course of a year than the NFL team does.
And so, all the other events. And
so I think the rodeo has a lot to do with it.
So why are they not paying for it?
I don't know who's going to pay for it, and I don't know what the infrastructure needs are.
The litigator comes back.
The litigator comes back. The Sports Authority is already – $1.66 billion in debt. So they're not going to be
paying for it.
For sure. But I will say a couple things about the stadium. Mm-hmm. I'm very much a walker, you know, and I was walking out, and I can't remember if it was from a rodeo event or what it was, but it was absolutely immovable. And that's very dangerous on the ramps going down.
There were
so many people. It was packed.
And that's the rodeo for sure. That's probably the rodeo. Because where we come from during the season, that was the rodeo. But here's the thing. I have an idea. So why don't we, I just feel like we have other uses for this money, like the roads in Houston that we all drive on. I feel like the stadium's fine. I mean, there are some things we can do around traffic control and people moving, of course, but that may be more of a personnel than an infrastructure, in my opinion. I don't know. I just feel like $3 billion sounds like a lot, and I feel like we have other uses for those funds.
Okay.
That's my thought. Baseball boyfriend?
Well, that's a lot of money. So
he's such an attorney. He, like, won't answer.
Well, it's a lot of money, but I'm not sure if the $1 billion or whatever number comes to take care of the stadium, if it needs to take care of it, it comes from the same pot or the same pockets that go to pay for our streets. So I just don't know enough.
Streets.
I know.
Yeah, having bought 7 very expensive tires over the last 5 years. Yeah,
exactly.
If you don't pay to fix the stadium, I'm not sure you get an extra $1 billion for the streets.
Well, you know what that is. I know. Hot, we can't say the word. Okay, so you have season tickets to the Texans.
I do.
What do we think? The draft is happening.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's draft's going to be important. You know, the Texans have got one of the problems that comes with success is you don't get to draft nearly as highly.
And number 20 or something.
It's going to be interesting to see who's still available.
Yeah, we're not.
Well, here's the thing about.
She sent me the predictions this
morning. Yeah, here's the deal about the draft. I think that, just like we talked about with the Astros, just like we talked about with the Rockets, I think that you don't always need to get the player that's the highest. You need to find a solid player who's willing to grow and learn.
So the prediction of the Ohio State
left tackle lineman,
which we need. Good. We need, but of course, want the guy, you know, the Lombardi. I want my Lombardi.
He went to UT, right?
Yes.
Well, if you don't have somebody to protect CJ, it doesn't really matter.
That's the left tackle from Ohio State.
Yeah.
He was one. You know, remember how huge they were?
Yeah.
They were giant.
They were gigantic.
So Nick You need to call us because Nick, you know, the
she had a contract, a one day contract with
that Nick gave me.
You hear about that? Yeah.
Because I think if I, my strategy would be to not, to take a step back, take a deep breath, say, okay, we are where we are as far as the draft. Let's be really thoughtful and think about, to your point, who do we need to get to protect CJ? CJ is the most important asset because you need him to score. Right?
That's right.
So who do we need to get to protect CJ? And it's okay if it's not, you know, the top whoever from wherever. We have to get people to protect CJ. Otherwise, we're dead in the water.
Well, you know, the really best offensive linemen, they don't come cheaply, and there's not that many of them around. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of, you know, all of these professional sports, mm-hmm. the people who play them are so good.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is between the people who are really, really excellent and the people who are just good professional mm-hmm. players mm-hmm. is not that much.
Mm-hmm.
But that much means a lot.
Yeah. No, that's fair. But then you think about Tom Brady, lovely, don't say anything, who was not high in the draft.
That's right.
And is Tom Brady. So
yeah.
I just feel like we need to think about those things too, yeah. right? Like you can find those diamonds that are in the rough and we need to be looking for that.
Sometimes those are diamonds in the rough. And every general manager in the NFL or the NBA or the Major League Baseball, they think that that's what they're doing every time.
You
they
think?
Pick. Sure. Of course they do.
Well, they're misguided.
They're going to get somebody who's going to come up and is going to be the next great star. And, you know, you get further down in the draft, you can take some chances. But I think baseball is the sport where, once again, players who are further down the draft mm-hmm. order have a better probability mm-hmm, of being mm-hmm. good. And that's because the physical skills
mm-hmm.
And physical maturity comes at a different pace for a baseball player
this
than a football player.
True. That's a very good point.
So, and you draft baseball players, you can draft baseball players a lot younger than football players. So it's really interesting. If you look at pitchers particularly, you'll find a lot of pitchers that are really good turn out to be our low-round draft pick. I can't remember what Roy Oswalt was for the Astros, but mm-hmm. he's one of the all-time best pitchers the Astros had, and I don't think he was a high draft pick.
So we have one more contentious question for you. Okay. Name, image, likeness. What's your take on it?
I was talking about that again today.
Well, I think it's going to take a long time for college sports to adapt to this new system. It's really hard to argue that these players – shouldn't get some financial benefit
Fair.
From the labor that they provide. So it's hard to do that, but I'll tell you right now, I think it's kind of like the wild, wild west
uh-huh.
out there. And there are players legitimately who are making an awful lot of money playing college sports. And I think to your question or that I heard on one of your prior segments, what does that mean for how we define these
players? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot to be settled out from this.
You know what I think they should do? They should hire the three of us. And we should be, no, seriously, we could be like a committee. Because we're objective.
I'm so willing.
No, seriously, we're objective.
I really am. Because
you got some legal chops. That helps.
I want amateur sports to continue.
I think there's a place for it.
I agree. It doesn't mean you can't get paid anything. But I think once you're getting paid megabucks,
right.
You're not an amateur. Unless you're getting paid megabucks for endorsements of something that has nothing to do with what you're doing, which you can't get if you're not doing well.
Exactly.
But on the other hand, the school isn't paying you.
Correct.
So the school paying you is what's kind of...
I feel like there needs to be a, what do you call those panel of judges that are like, what do you call it?
An arbitration
panel. Yeah, I think we need an arbitration panel for this that's set aside from the universities.
Arbitration and mediation.
Because they're too close. I think universities are too close, and so then they're like, and players are too.
Well,
they need an objective perspective.
The other part of it.
And we're sports fans.
80% going to football.
Right.
You know what I mean? That doesn't feel very fair. That's 20% for how many
everything else. Yeah.
Well, that's the revenue-producing sport, so that's part of it. And
That's also the sports that have been invested in, so hence making them the revenue-producing.
Well, the person that said 80% was U of H. You think that they're 80% football and not basketball U of H? Calvin Sampson, nobody ever leaves.
Right, right.
Nobody goes to another school. They don't transfer out
of U of
H. Has anybody noticed that?
as magical, just saying, go Cougs. Yeah, he's like, yeah, not listening to
anything. They don't. They come to U of H.
Yeah.
But they don't transfer.
No, this is a very good point.
They don't leave this coach.
So here's the deal. I just think that if they were to hire us, I'm just saying, magical, you should join this panel too. That we could probably give, I feel like we could give a fair assessment and some recommendations. Because we're fans.
Yes.
We understand.
Yes.
We don't have any skin in the game. I think they should hire us. Who do we need to talk to?
Magical. I have skin in the game. Let's just say it. My whole emotional.
Yeah, well, you have emotional skin in the game. We're not paying anybody, though. But I feel like they should hire us because I think that's what you're right. I think it's going to take some time, but I think they can't do it. I think they need an objective third party.
Well, they're.
Update my resume.
Okay, cool. What are you going to say, Scott?
I was just going to say the players and the institutions and the sports and the alumni bases and the fans all have a piece of this. They're. It's some outcome that has to take all of that into account. And we've started with the players, which I don't think is a bad idea. And now we've gone straight to what's the most that we can generate from our alumni base to pay these kids. And we've kind of, left perhaps the institutions and the fans behind a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So see, I think that's even better. So we can expand our panel to include representation from those stakeholders and really talk about it. Right?
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
I think that's good. So who do we need to talk to? I don't know. We'll figure that out. We're going to take a break and figure out who we need to call, get our panel established.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Sure. We'll invite you back. You can come
really
back now.
It's really a pleasure. Oh, okay. I still get baseball to be the baseball boy.
You're the baseball. Okay, well,
officially the baseball.
You're officially the baseball boy. Well, you're on probation. Okay. You're the probationary baseball boyfriend.
Is it like double secret probation?
No, you're on probation until you take us to the game. We have a good experience, okay. And then we'll decide if you're off probation.
All right. Good
so
enough.
You have
Fair
some hurdles.
Enough.
All right, and with that, we'll be back.
Bye.
Are you a business owner and looking for a fun and low-cost way to advertise? Yes? Super! You should join our Culture Club HTX crew. Visit us at cultureclubhtx.com and click on Culture Club HTX crew or send us an email at connect@cultureclubhtx. You'll be happy you did.
You're listening to Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Shivana Robert-Schreiber.
And we're back. I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson, co-host of Culture... No, I'm not. What am I thinking?
You're Lisa Holland-Nelson Bowman Lombardi.
Yeah, that's who I am. And you know what? Occasionally I'll forget, especially in the later segments of our show. But even more important than that, I'm here with my beautiful, brilliant... beloved, best, what is it? I forgot. I can't get the fifth B.
I know. We'll think of it in the next.
I don't remember.
Shivana Robert-Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX. And more importantly, we have a fantastic guest in our business segment.
We're so excited. She is so much more than business. Our guest is Melissa Salim, a true Houston original. She's the CEO of Ollie's Boutique, mm-hmm. a fashion brand inspired by her daughter, Olivia, and built as a celebration of motherhood and style. Melissa is also the co-CEO and chief marketing officer of Sorrento, one of my favorite restaurants.
Oh, good.
Very near my house. Sue and
Westheimer.
Our football husband. That's their favorite place.
And it's right by my bar studio, too. I pass by every day.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and her story doesn't stop at business. This is really cool. We kind of met her because we met this woman that produced a Broadway musical, and we're going to have her on next month.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, she referred us to Melissa because they're also what do you call it? Not aging mothers, but later mothers. Later in life mothers.
Yes.
And that's a story I really want to hear about. And she's also an award-winning ballroom dancer and a passionate advocate for healthy age. You're all the things for me.
Oh, thank you.
So welcome, Melissa.
Thank you.
Welcome.
We're so excited to have you here. And as Lisa just mentioned, I mean, you have a very full life and we love it, right? If you had a boring life, we wouldn't have you on the show. So from entrepreneur to ballroom dancer, wife, mom, take us back to the beginning. How did all this come to be?
That is such a good question. I'm not sure any of it was intentional necessarily. I think that I liked ballroom dancing. It crossed my path, and I thought, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Motherhood, I think I was so busy with different careers growing mm-hmm. up and in my life that it was an afterthought. So at 45, I was like, uh-oh. I think I forgot to become a mom, and I really wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The different businesses, it's just kind of something that sounds good at the time. And so I think it's just confidence.
Yes, absolutely.
It's confidence. It's curiosity. And I think I just always think I can do that. And I just give it my best shot.
Well, I agree. And I'm one of these people who always, I just think I can kind of do anything and mm-hmm. everything. And I know you think the same thing. And especially now, or not even just now, generally speaking, women tend to limit ourselves because of all of the pressures and norms, et cetera. So I'm so happy to hear that you just said, you know what, I could do that, lovely.
And all of the roles.
Yes.
You know, not just pressures, norms, et cetera, but like,
yes,
it's not like they're going to call anybody else mommy.
Hello. Right. Yeah.
You know, right. I mean, that just is your yes. role no matter what you do, how much help you have, how much help you don't have. You still have one creature at least, and maybe a few more.
One human to raise.
Critter is what I meant to say. But so I'm excited to listen to your story because it's not so different than mine in the sense that I never had a plan. I was just there and lucky, and I thought I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So all the career moves or the nine lives or all the things.
Right.
But starting a retail store, I mean, that I think every one of us thinks we can do it. And we started with lemonade stands. I mean, who wasn't selling lemonade and cookies as a kid? But that being said, tell me about that. I mean, what was the inspiration? Your daughter, obviously, but like, tell me.
You know, I think being a mom has made me fearless. It's the hardest thing I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
I will absolutely say that.
It terrified me. I don't know that I became, yes. I think I became terrified, but that's okay.
I was terrified the first few years, and then it took me a while to find my mojo. You know, I love to shop. My husband and I, prior to Olivia, were traveling a lot, and I would love to find different, unique things.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really finding it in Houston.
Okay.
So I thought, maybe I could just do my own thing. That
yes.
would be fun. It's been a slow start because I have been busy with the restaurant. I've been busy raising Olivia. So we are doing online. I have a partner who designed her own swimwear.
Oh, nice.
I found her on a nanny website.
Huh.
And all I noticed was fashion designer. And so we have partnered.
Great.
And kind of, I think our specialty is going to be luxury resort wear.
Oh, I love
fabulous.
That.
So
that's
fabulous. We're doing lots of online, lots of pop-ups at the right now.
Okay.
Eventually, I will have space. I'm just waiting for my daughter to get a little bit older when I can get freed up a bit.
Yeah. So where can people find you online? The boutique in particular.
Ollys. So OllysBoutique.com.
Excellent.
That's pretty easy.
So you mentioned your husband. Now, we're in what I would say is one of the best foodie cities in the United States.
World.
In the world. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. In the world. So it's not easy. It's not easy to have a restaurant in Houston. I mean, many restaurants start, they flare up, it's all the rage, and then, you know, where did they go? So walk us through your journey as a restaurateur. Tell us about Sorrento and what lessons have you learned from running a restaurant, and not just running a restaurant, but running a restaurant in Houston.
It's so competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a complete newbie. One more thing that I was brand new at.
Really?
My husband came home and said, we bought Sorrento. And I just thought, what, you know, I'm going to have to do the marketing and I'm going to have to figure this out. We were huge clients of Sorrento. We've been there for years. And one night we were celebrating my birthday and the owner wanted to sell it. And we bought it. So that's how
for
that
your
happened.
Birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
You own the restaurant
I'm not sure
now.
That was the best birthday gift. However, you know, I think being now in the restaurant business, I think the best thing that the biggest lesson I've learned so far is I went into it thinking we need younger people. Our database is very much older.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And I thought we need to get younger people mm-hmm. in. And that was kind of a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So we went social media. We had influencers coming in. And it wasn't a fit.
Mm-hmm.
And so my lesson has been getting back to the database. Really catering to the audience, finding your niche, and really, really expanding on that. So what I did instead was we did for the first time a brunch with Santa because I thought our database will bring in their grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great idea.
Or bring in their children.
Yeah.
And that was a sold-out event. We recently just did brunch with Bunny. That was a sold-out event.
My mind went somewhere different. I'm listening. Keep going. I'm sorry.
And, Oh, and we had a Frank Sinatra series that we
Why didn't I come? Can we do that again?
I love that.
So what I was going to say to you, and I don't want to interrupt your story, but I have to say that one of the things that is beloved about Sorrento is that it is a place for adults.
Yes.
There's
look
not
at
a
us.
Bunch
yes.
of children there.
Right.
You can hear.
Right.
It's not too loud.
The piano player is wonderful.
Yes.
Mm. I mean, the layout is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a dead space.
Right.
You're not going to get put in the wrong table.
Exactly.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's small enough that works. It's really a very special restaurant. It's been around a long
for
time.
For a long time.
It's been around a really long
so
time.
So go back to this Frank Sinatra thing.
Yeah,
say
tell
more.
Us.
We want to know more about
so
it.
So my Frank. Husband and I were
in very
Vegas,
Frank.
And we were trying to get into this restaurant, and it was like a Frank Sinatra throwback theme with live music and dancers. And I thought, you know, Sorrento's has that database. I mean, we could do some dinner and dancing because there's many places
fabulous.
In Houston where you can do that. Another idea, we put it out there, found the band, decided to bring in the dance floor, and it was sold out. So it's going to be a monthly thing that we start doing.
When is the next one, and we need to come?
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Mm-hmm, okay.
It's going to be in June. Right. I think it's on Martini Day, and it's June something, whatever
perfect.
That Martini Day is.
You know what the best day would be? June 8th. That's my birthday. I'm just saying. I mean, that would be, if I were you, I would do it on the day. But, you know, do what you want. You're the CMO. But that's great. That's such, what a great idea.
Yeah.
So you've learned from that. Like you said, market to your own database. Mm-hmm. Basically, take care of your existing clients and they'll take care of you.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Excellent. I agree. So, as you know, here at Culture Club HTX, we have a passion for comprehensive wellness, physical, mental, emotional fitness.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the two of us very much. And so I want you to tell us more about that. You have the same passion.
I do.
Yes.
I do. Especially as an older mother. So I think that for women in particular, I think it depends. For me, aesthetically, I want to age as well as possible.
Hello. I mean, what?
Maybe not everybody wants that, but I want that for
who
myself.
Who doesn't want that? Turn off the radio right now if you don't want that. I mean, come on. Keep going.
And I think that, you know, I think vitamins, nutrition, movement, I think all of it is so important. And there's so many things that you can do depending on financial. I love stem cells. I love peptides. I think seeing a vitamin specialist and nutritionalist is key. I mean, vitamin D can prevent cancer. There's just so many things we can do today.
Yes.
To prevent disaster. At the end of the day, the best thing that you can do is eat well. Avoid sugar.
Move your body.
Avoid carb. And move. Move. You don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to be a runner. Walk. Enjoy nature. Dance. I'm a huge advocate for dancing.
Yes.
Because dancing makes you feel good. That's a huge mental, emotional state as well.
Yes. Oh,
the music
yes.
makes you feel good. It's very therapeutic.
Yes.
It makes your brain work. And it's a huge escape. So I'm into all of that. And a huge advocate for all of it. But I always encourage people to really talk to their anti-aging doctor. There's some really good people out there that have a wealth of information.
So the last question, your three top tips, you know, for healthy aging.
I think vitamins.
Okay.
I think vitamins. I think food.
Okay.
You are what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
And exercise.
Okay.
So that means I'm a salad and chicken. I eat that like almost.
Me too.
Like I'm salad, chicken, avocado, and sparkly water. I'm okay with that.
You're good.
And popcorn.
Sam,
I do eat popcorn.
I love popcorn.
I make it at home and it's great.
That's a nightly ritual for
me. Yeah,
me
too. I make it every night. Okay, we're off track. Okay, how can people find you? How can people find Sorrento? Tell us more. So the website again for your boutique is?
Ollysboutique.com and it's spelled Ollys boutique. Sorrento is sorrento.com. I think on Sorrento, on Instagram, it might be Sorrento Houston. And that's it. My name is Melissa Salim, so I'm pretty easy to find if you just Google me.
So if we show up at Sorrento, can we say Melissa sent us and said, give us the best table and the best service?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm asking.
In June 8th, I'll remember it.
I mean, I'm just saying, it's a good day.
Melissa, well, we can't thank you enough for coming in and sharing your story and telling us about Sorrento. I'm so excited. I hope I do see you there.
I know.
You know, I'll be there soon, I'm sure.
Okay.
I'm singing Fly Me to the Moon in my head right now. Like, literally
that's
in this moment.
Song.
That is like
we have to get ready and go somewhere.
We play.
This is so crazy, both of us.
Yeah. And we didn't plan it. We were just doing it.
We go, Alexa, Play Fly Me.
Well, I just go and press it on my phone because I'm anti-tech in my house, but that's not the point. Right? Well, anyway.
I have Alexa. Yeah.
Thank you so much. This was fantastic. Thank you. Cannot wait to see what you're up to next. Oh, that's my final question. What's next for you? You have one thing.
You know, I think what's next is space for the boutique.
I thought you meant space like space travel. I was like, yeah, me too. But yeah, space for the boutique too.
You can have my place, both of you. You're
going to make my costume or my outfit. Remember,
I am going to make your outfit.
We've discussed this. Okay.
I will definitely do that.
And with that, we'll be back.
Bye.
I'm Siobhana Roberts-Schreiber, co-host of Culture Club HTX, here to talk to you about my other gig, CEO of SNR Creative Advisory. At SNR Creative, we're an elite team of seasoned professionals with one simple mission: partnering with our clients to creatively solve problems. Whether it's help with your business development, updating your communication strategy, or navigating a shift related to business transformation, our team of experts are here to help you think through that transition and execute it seamlessly. To learn more, visit snr-creative.com.
Do you love listening to Siobhana and me talk about all the things every Sunday here? Do you ever wish you could see what we're laughing about so much? Especially what Magical's laughing about? You're in luck. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and see the fun clips and outtakes from the show, as well as our super special series, Friends by the Fireplace, that we release every Friday. Finding us on YouTube is easy breezy. Type Culture Club HTX and voila, you're in.
Listening to Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Siobhana Robert-Schreiber.
And we're back.
Hi.
I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson, Bowman Lombardi, fashionista and co-host of Culture Club HTX, here with my beautiful, best, beloved, brilliant...
Bestie. You got it.
You think?
That's it.
I said that, all of it?
Well, hot damn.
I did, all
five. Can you say damn on the radio?
Hot damn. Yeah, you can say hot damn, not
hot
the
damn.
Other stuff.
That's okay.
Oh, so welcome, whatever your name is.
Siobhana Roberts-Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, and the one who's making sure we won't get in trouble from the FCC if it still exists.
Well, we don't know that, but we're not going to annex Canada either.
Okay, we're back on the rails.
Okay, we're on the rails, yep. And here we are. And we're going to mash up a couple of segments
because we do what we want.
Exciting stuff to do. And of course, we have a lot of fashion news today. But we have to take 1 minute
to talk about
congratulate the first female Coast Guard commander. This is a huge moment for women. Captain Nicole Rodriguez became Houston's first female captain of the Port and Coast Guard Sector Commander. I mean, this is huge, huge. I mean, there's never been one, and I'm sure 1,000 years. So congratulations to her. And we're, you know.
What's her name again?
Nicole Rodriguez.
Nicole.
I mean, she was an archaeologist and a defense contractor. To pioneer at the Coast Guard. This is just
I think
spectacular.
That's huge. Yeah, I
okay,
agree. Congratulations.
So not,
maybe we'll see if she'll come on the show.
That would be wonderful.
Oh, I'm looking at her right now. Yep. We'll see if she'll come on the
maybe
show.
Maybe she will. I bet she might because lots of people want to come.
I mean, she's decorated, too. She's like the real deal
Holyfield. She has a whole lot of medals on.
She does.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm just going to start wearing medals on my jacket.
Hey,
you know, I have a lot of jackets. I wonder. You know,
I have daddy's medals and I have
you
Bob's.
Know what? We
I do
know
have
what
a
we
lot
should
of
do? We should just start wearing them on our jackets.
I think so.
And see what happens.
We may get in trouble.
Why would we get in trouble?
I don't know.
Did you steal them?
No.
Okay, well then, no. Okay,
no.
Anyway, so.
No, I just, like, when we were dividing things up when my father passed away 25 years ago, I took the little kit thing that they got in the Navy, and inside was all the, you know.
Well, if you don't wear them, I'll wear them because I think it looks cool. Okay,
absolutely. So let's go to fashion.
Speaking of fashion.
We have a really, this is so cool.
This is your favorite?
Well, it's getting there.
Is it?
Kendrick Lamar becomes Chanel's newest global ambassador. I mean, he's a Pulitzer Prize winner. Did you know that?
No.
Pulitzer Prize and Grammy winning rapper.
I knew that because I was
there. Kendrick Lamar has signed on as Chanel's latest brand ambassador.
Here is the thing. This is my point of
what do you think of it?
My mental friction around this is I don't know that he's super fashionable. Like
They're
I don't look
eyewear.
At him.
They're doing eyewear. He's, okay. You know, people know him. I guess they, I wouldn't.
Okay. I just, here's the deal. I feel like this goes into the category of brands partnering or brands being on the bandwagon. Okay. If he were not
a great,
if he weren't in the Super Bowl and if he didn't win the however many Grammys he won this year, would we even be talking about this? I think the answer is no. So that's not my only thing. So I'm like, it'd be different if he were like known to be super fashionable. And this came to be, but I just think that they're on the bandwagon. But that's fine.
An interesting thing about him is he's the first rapper to win a Pulitzer Prize. Mm-hmm. And he has extensive creative collaborations, including doing set design for Chanel's couture show. This guy is a creative guy. So, I mean, bring it on. Let's see what
happens. Let's see. Yeah, okay.
This next one's really interesting.
The dupes?
I mean, I've never heard of dupes, but I understand what they are. What they are
You've never heard of that?
The number two. No.
Dupes are just fakes.
They're not just fakes here. What they are is like if Urban Decay comes out with something and then, you know, if somebody comes out with something and they up it, basically.
Well, so maybe I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. But yeah. The way I understand dupes is, so it is Urban Decay, but then it's Urban Recay, right?
Like, no, that's not what this is. Okay. The example here is that Lancome's Skin Idole Serum Super Tint, nearly identical to Urban Decay's Face Bond. Lancome came second. Lancome costs $8 more. Both brands are owned by L'Oreal. So this is not what you're thinking. Dupes. I know what dupes are, like fakes and counterfeits and all that stuff. That's not what this is. This is like upping.
Oh, so what this
like
is.
Like upscaling their own brand.
What do you call it? Like the house brand. So this is like, so Target has its Target
but
brand.
But its brand is higher.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean.
Okay, that's very interesting. So what's the point? Why are people doing this?
Well, Estee Lauder's new $38 gloss stick mimics Tarte's $27 hit for money. Because there's a product that people like. Uh-huh. That's what it starts with.
So then how are they making it cheaper without compromising?
They're not. They're making it more expensive. That's the whole point.
They're going up?
They're going
these
up.
These people are ridiculous. That's, okay, never mind. Okay, this whole thing is.
To me.
No, I'm like, I thought it was
major brands are purposely creating prestige dupes to target older shoppers, Gen X. Is that older? who want quality and are willing to pay for an elegant look. How old are Gen Xers?
Who knows? How old are Gen Xers? Is that 41?
Let me Google.
Gen X. No, that's maybe 50. Gen X. I don't know. Magical's going to come back. Okay, so.
Anyway, they take a hot, youthful product, polish the packaging, ramp up the price, and go after customers who'd rather spend more than chase trends.
Who are foolish. You go after customers who are foolish because there's no damn way I'm going to pay $8 more. I'm not buying.
I mean, I'm not going to talk about.
What's a gloss stick?
It's some kind of either cheeks or lips.
Like makes you look dewy?
Yeah.
Move to Texas and walk outside. You'll look dewy. You don't need a gloss stick.
45 to 60.
That's Gen X?
Yeah.
Huh. You're not one yet.
Yeah.
You won't be one. You must be Y. Shoppers that trust.
Here's why
shoppers don't care. What? Shoppers that trust the familiar big name brands for quality are happy to pay for products that look and feel premium. I am not. I just want
to
know.
Stupid shoppers.
The good stuff.
I'm like, I'm not. That just seems ridiculous to me. But nevertheless, it's happening. So we need to be on the lookout for that. Okay, so then talk to us about this.
This is exciting, too, because it sort of goes with UGC, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Our guest last week who was talking about user-generated
content. Yep.
So fashion's new data gold rush, how indie tastemakers are changing what brands know.
Yep.
Like, what happens? I mean, like, these are independent tastemakers. They're not so much always influencers.
Right.
They're stylists. They're Substackers. They're sourcers. They are Instagram tastemakers, which is different, I think, than influencers.
Yes, because they're quiet.
Influencers selling stuff.
Influencers are loud.
Well, and they're selling things. Yes. I mean, they're making commissions on referrals and selling and all this. And this is more like what we were talking about last week, user-generated content.
And this is saying
so it has credibility.
More credibility because they have direct boots-on-the-ground knowledge of what's coveted, what's still sitting untouched, what shoppers are willing to pay a premium for. So this makes sense. Brands are tapping into this knowledge base to be able to make decisions. I think it makes a lot of sense.
It makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. So, you know, now I think, so if I were a user-generated content human, then I would get teamed up with one of these people, and then we would really have a package to offer a brand right?
Absolutely. And you are. You generate as much content as any human I know.
Do I?
Yeah, you just do it for yourself. You're not doing it for other people. Okay. Yeah, I'm serious. It's, you have several different brands, and whether it's 8 on the 8th or, you know, think about
it. I generate thought content.
Yeah, well, it's leadership content.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, there's a brand around it. It's leadership content. You know, it's UGC, no matter what it is, because you're the user generating it.
Right.
But more than that, if you decide to sell it, it's officially UGC.
This is true. So what we can expect is more transparency, more data around what's hot, what's not. I love those lists. What's hot, what's not. Don't you love those?
I love them. I love to know what's out.
Why?
It's generally something I'm just getting.
Prairie dresses? Your favorite.
She can't help it.
You just lift your hands. I saw a picture recently and I thought.
You saw it. It looks horrible.
Well, they're back.
It looks nice on Laura Max Rose.
They're back with like floral. They're back with pastel colors.
What's the matter with these people?
I didn't say it. I just said they're back. They're back with pastel colors and chiffon.
Well, more than
material.
That, the
it's
floaty, all the things. And they're lovely. On a slim 30-something person.
So not Gen X. Because Gen X, you said, is what? Magical 45?
Gen X, yeah. No, they did it the last time. If you did it the last time, more than likely you should not be doing it.
Okay, so one last thing I'll say before Magical kicks us off, because we are at our time. I've decided that I am going to tap back into, I feel like the summer look needs to be the 70s summer. I feel like 70s summer was a good look.
Works for me.
Right?
I love the 70s.
Okay, so we're gonna work on that.
Since I had really long hair and I'm not doing
well,
it.
Well, I got
again.
The braids going. So
you got
that.
Yeah, you'll
so
do it for both
I'll
of us.
I'll do it for both of you. For both of us. And so I'm thinking it's going to be a 70s summer for SRS. Stay tuned, folks. All right, and then we need to go
do I have
now.
To lose weight?
Who, me?
No,
are
I was
calling,
Twiggy
I was like,
in the 70s.
Fat?
No, no.
Okay, so.
Hey, that was the big 70s to me, Twiggy.
Okay. So we do have an event coming up before you'll hear from us here next time on April the 30th at David Peck's 5:30. Our salon series is going to be even better than the show, folks.
It is going to be better than the show. And it's going to be, it's not an interview thing. It's a group discussion. And we're going to talk about all things new in a sense.
Yeah. New beginnings.
New beginnings.
Of all types.
Mm-hmm. From graduation to
motherhood
to even menopause.
Graduation.
It's a new beginning.
It's a new beginning.
For a lot of people.
SRS's 70s look, also new beginning. So come see us.
Yeah.
And with that, we want you to
stay focused.
Stay fit, please.
And stay fabulous.
Bye. Bye.
I'm Lisa Holland Nelson, Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer of Astounds, and we invite you to dive into the dynamic world of digital marketing services with us. Astounds is not just an internet marketing service provider. We're your gateway to the future of online marketing. With our innovative approaches ranging from great website design to impactful online advertising and social media, we'll equip your business with the tools to grow. We want the opportunity to astound you. Grow your business online with us at astounds.com.